At Ford, we pride ourselves on building strong, capable vehicles. But we're only as strong as the people who drive them. People like you, who don't just see an F-150, but see what they can build with it. Because built Ford proud, it's a pact. Between us, our drivers, and what we can do together. Built Ford proud.
Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change.
What up? It's Dramos from the Life as a Gringo podcast. We are back with a brand new season. Now, Life as a Gringo speaks to Latinos who are born or raised here in the States. It's about educating and breaking those generational curses that, man, have been holding us back for far too long. I'm here to discuss the topics that are relevant to all of us and to define what it means to live as our true, authentic self. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, hey, Holiday You here. You know me, I'm all put down that protein shake and bring on the pumpkin spice lattes with extra whip. Regular you might skip the blueberry pie and worry about staining your teeth. But with Colgate Optic White Pro Series toothpaste, twice daily brushing removes 15 years of stains in 2 weeks. So grab another glass of red and raise it up, because regular you can live life to the brightest all year long. Colgate Optic White Pro Series toothpaste. Find it at all major retailers.
This is Lee Habib, and this is Our American Stories, the show where America is the star and the American people. And by the way, to check out our American Stories podcast, subscribe on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Up next, the story of Gail Halvorsen, a young pilot in the U.S. Army Air Corps who was assigned as a cargo pilot at the Berlin Airlift, in which U.S. forces flew much-needed supplies into a war-torn, Soviet-blockaded Berlin following World War II. Gail grew up on a farm in Utah and joined the Army Air Corps in June of 1942. Here's Colonel Halvorsen with the story, beginning with the three reasons why he and his fellow servicemen saw the Berlin airlift as necessary.
I stayed in the Air Force, the Army Air Corps at the time, after the war, and wanted to keep flying, and we were briefed in our pilot meetings all the time, every month, about the world situation after the war. And we knew from these briefings the new enemy was Stalin and communism. He'd just taken Czechoslovakia, had the popular democratic leader assassinated, taken Hungary, and we knew he was headed west. The second factor was we knew that most of the 2.5 million people in Berlin, in West Berlin, were women and children, very few men. And to starve them, take fresh milk or food from babies, from women and children, that's a mitigating factor on how we felt about what we're doing. The third one was when I landed on my first trip into Berlin of 20,000 pounds of flour and opened that, have that back door, the crew chief went back, opened the door, in came these Germans. Now six of them to unload and about six in the semi-truck. I wondered how these supermen are going to look. And they had mixed uniforms, part uniform, part civilian clothes, doctors, or Wehrmacht privates, all together for one purpose. They needed freedom, they needed flour. We had both. And when I got out of the cockpit and walked back, and that lead man came right up, put his hand in mine, and gripped it, and looked me in the eye, and his eyes were moist, and looked down at that flower like we're angels from heaven. And we're on the same page. So those three factors. So I got to go to Berlin and see it on the ground. I had a friend in Berlin who says, yeah, get here, I've got a Jeep for you and a driver. He'll take you over and you see everything. And so one day I came back, and it was about the 17th of July, came back and landed at the Rhine mine about noon. It was a beautiful day, sunshine. I was supposed to go to bed and fly that night. I had my movie camera in my hand. And Bill Christian, a buddy from Mobile, Alabama, was in an airplane in the next hard stand with a load of dried potatoes ready to go to Berlin, just getting ready to start the engines. I said, holy cow, what an opportunity. Beautiful day. Bill's going. I'll just jump on the airplane with him. I'm not going to bed. I got a Jeep waiting for me in Berlin. I get off the flight line. I'll go over the city and get these great movies. And so I told John Pickering, my co-pilot, go to bed, John. You and Elkins get to bed. I'm going to Berlin. He said, you're crazy. And I said, I know it, but I'm going to Berlin. If this thing stops tomorrow, they're going to send us all home. They're not going to let everybody go sightseeing in Berlin. And I want to see Berlin. I want to see Hitler's bunker. I want to see the Reichstag up close. I loved history. And here I was, right in the middle of it. I said, it's going to be over. I'm going to Berlin. I'll see you before I go back. All you need is a uniform. Airplanes come back to fight. No reservations required. So I jumped on the airplane, went back. We called in, and the Jeep was waiting. But before I went around town, I wanted to get on the end of the runway and take pictures of the airplanes coming over the buildings before we had to come between the buildings. And that's how dumb I was. I thought it was going to be over that quick. Thought I was there to get the movies, if I ever had any kids, to show them the approach. And so I went around there and started shooting movies. The airplane's coming over, barbed wire fence in front of me, bombed out buildings a couple hundred yards over. And then suddenly, here were the kids. See the color of their eyes. They're right up against me, looking at this uniform that was bombing them 3 years before. Maybe killed their dad and mom. Who knows? And I didn't know how they get. I looked down, all of a sudden there's 30 kids, about roughly 30, standing right on their side of the barbed wire from me, looking at me. And they were friendly. And I thought, why would they be friendly? You know? Here's that uniform right here. And it was the first time they've seen a uniform up close, the military, Russian the first, which is terror, and the occupation guys later. Then I found out later why they were so friendly. Because their aunts and uncles were arbitrarily cut off with the border. Not cut off because you could walk across the border then. But they could walk across the border, their aunts, uncles, and whoever, the close family type, come over to West Berlin to use the library to see what's going on in the world. And they lost their freedom. They lost freedom of the press, the freedom of expression, freedom of travel, freedom of religion, freedom of electing who they wanted to be their ruler. They'd lost that. So they were over there. And they were telling their aunts and uncles, man, I can't travel. I can't do this, can't do that. And they knew. They knew then what communists like. They had missionaries from the communists, not for this program, but negative missionaries, saying, hey, this is not very cool, buddy. You don't want anything to do with these guys. So they were friendly.
And you're listening to Colonel Gail Halvorsen tell the story of why the Berlin airlift was necessary. The people of Germany knew who we were. We were on their side and on the side of freedom. When we come back, more of this remarkable story not told enough in America's classrooms, the story of the Cold War, the story of the Berlin airlift, here on Our American Stories. Lee Habib here, the host of Our American Stories. Every day on this show, we're bringing inspiring stories from across this great country. Stories from our big cities and small towns. But we truly can't do this show without you. Our stories are free to listen to, but they're not free to make. If you love what you hear, go to OurAmericanStories.com and click the donate button. Give a little, give a lot. Go to OurAmericanStories.com and give.
At Boost Mobile, passion and determination fuel what it means to get after it. That's why they built their offers keeping in mind those who go the extra mile. Boost Mobile is partnered with champions from across the nation to empower you with devices and service that won't break the bank. Join Boost Mobile and get after it. Boost Mobile is partnering with people you already know and love, like the artist JC Rivera, rapper, singer, songwriter Tusi, and professional skateboarder and Olympic athlete Samaria Brevard, to highlight their unique talents, inspiring journeys, and how Boost Mobile helped them continue to get after it. Boost Mobile knows the importance of shining a spotlight on the neighborhood kids and showing up for the communities they are in. It's time to join Boost Mobile and get after it. Switch to Boost Mobile today and get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone powered by America's largest 5G networks. New customers only. Taxes extra. One device per line. 5G not available everywhere. Other restrictions apply. Check out the full offer details at BoostMobile.com. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL fans, it's time to unwrap nonstop football action. This holiday season, throw down on big matchups with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on the NFL and score $150 instantly in bonus bets. That's it. Download the app now. Use the code BOBBYSPORTS. New customers can bet $5 on NFL action to score $150 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The code is BOBBYSPORTS. Put that in, please. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
That time of the year is coming around.
The Holiday Classic is back on Christmas Eve.
Let's go!
Tune into NFL Network for an epic primetime showdown.
And we continue with Our American Stories and the story of Colonel Halvorsen, and in the end, the story of the Berlin airlift and why it was so necessary, and in the end, so remarkable and emblematic of the people, the country that made it happen.
American-style freedom was their dream, and Hitler's past and Stalin's future was their nightmare. They knew, those kids, 8 to 14, they were giving me a lesson about freedom. But look, he said, it's pretty good here in July. You know, the weather's not too bad. We get some storms. But you wait. They had school English. Some of them spoke pretty good English. School English. I couldn't speak any German. And they said, come the winter and the fall, you can't get in here. It's going to be bad. Kids, give me a lecture. I said, but when that happens, don't worry about us. We don't have to have enough to eat. Just don't give up on us. Someday we'll have enough to eat. But if we lose our freedom, we'll never get it back. American-style freedom was their dream. And they knew about the other systems. They didn't want to. Those kids were incredible. I just said, holy cow. And I got so interested in listening to them. I looked and watched some of them. I'd been there over an hour. And I said, boy, Jeep might not be waiting. I got to get out of here. So I started to run. So see you later, kids. And got about five steps. And then the kids, I stopped. And I said, boy, these incredible kids. I said, well, they got a postgraduate degree in international relations. They know what's important. They got their heads screwed on. They really know what's important. And I started to walk. And the little voice just came back again. I don't know how it overcame to get to the Jeep, you're late, but it did. It so intrigued me. And then I knew in a flash why. And it was because during the war and after the war, walked down the street in a foreign country where the kids had some chocolate, not much, but had some. And those kids would chase you going down the street, intercept you, and surround you begging for chocolate and gum. And of course, the military, since the Continental Army was Washington, going through a town to give kids stuff from the ration. They had a little piece of chocolate or hardtack or something, they'd give it to the kids. That's nothing new. And but then I thought, they haven't had any chocolate for months. They haven't had gum. They hardly knew what gum was anyway, but no chocolate for months. And not one of those kids would lower themselves to be a beggar for something so extravagant as chocolate, when they had flour to be free, when they wouldn't ask for more than freedom, lower themselves to beg for something more. It blew my mind. When somebody gives you $1 million, you don't ask for $4 more, do you? You wouldn't ask for that. Well, they didn't ask for that cream on the top because they were so thankful for what freedom meant to them. When I realized that, I just said, holy cow, can't believe it. Not one child put out their hand. Not one by voice inflection indicated, would you got some chocolate or something? Not one. So I reached in my pocket and just had two sticks of gum. I said, holy cow, two sticks of gum? You're going to have fights. You're going to have bloody noses. Get out of here. And I said, well, I'll never see these kids again. I'll be flying 24 hours without sleep. I'll be sleeping when the autopilot's flying, coming and going, the co-pilot probably. But I can't come to the fence anymore. I'll never see these kids again. How could I possibly give them something? That's what everybody, well, I said, well, give it to them. It's all you got. Broke it in half, four pieces through the barbed wire. The kids that were translating, I gave them half a stick. They did most of it. And boy, they looked like they got a $100 bill. And boy, they got a hold of that. And then here came the rest of the kids. And no fight. They just wanted a piece of the wrapper. And the kids with a half a stick, gum tore off the outer wrapper and the tin foil and handed it to the kids that didn't get anything at all. And the kids that got a piece of paper, put it up their nose and smelled it. And smelled it, a piece of paper. I stood there, just flat dumb, couldn't believe what I'd seen. Holy cow. For 30 cents, I could buy them 30 sticks of gum and they could have the wrapper and everything. But how do I deliver it? I can't come out here. Could I get some German to deliver it? Who knows what kids would get it, or if he'd even deliver it. About that time, an airplane flew over my head and landed right on the runway behind me. And I got the idea. I'm coming in tomorrow. I can deliver it to these kids. I can put it in that open place. And I'll get enough for everybody. And boy, then the red light came on. So you got to have permission for that. You can't drop stuff out of airplanes unless you get the clearance. And then I rationalized. And that's how you get in trouble. That's the first step, getting off the path. And so I thought, well, starving 2 million people, not according to oil anyway, what's a few sticks of gum? And so I found myself almost horrified, saying, kids, you come back tomorrow, stand in this open place, and when I come in to land, I'll drop enough out of the airplane to you before I land, if you'll share it. And oh, Jawohl, we'll share it, they said. You bet, bouncing up and down. And I started leaving, they called me back. I said, what's the matter? You got to know what airplane you're in. Every 5 minutes, there's an airplane coming by here. Well, I didn't know what airplane, because the airplanes from Alaska had red noses and red tails. They crashed in the snow, they could find them. And the airplanes from Hawaii had coconut palms and stuff on them. Everybody had a different insignia. And I flew whatever airplane was loaded. I don't know what airplane they'll fly. I'm just sure it was a four-engine. There were a lot of two-engine C-47s still flying. It's a four-engine. They said, not enough. We got to know. Then I told them, wiggle the wings. When I come over the beacon at first, before I go over East Berlin to come around and land, I'll wiggle the wings. Boy, they said, let's get out of here. Let's start this thing. So I went all over town and got the movies you've seen, and every documentary that every major producer has put out has got my film in it that I took around the city and off of the airlift as it went on. And I took those pictures, went back to several hours, ready to start flying that night. Went to the base exchange, opened 24 hours a day, bought all I could on my weekly ration. And I didn't have enough, so I went to my crew, and I said, I got to have your ration. They gave me theirs. I had a big double handful of chocolate bars, Hershey bars, Babe Ruth, Bounce, and double mint gum. And broke it up in three pieces, put three parachutes on it, anxious parachutes. And the next day, flew that night, of course, and the next day, before noon, the weather was good. Looked down there, and those kids were right in the open place between the bombed-out buildings and the barbed wire fence. They hadn't told anybody else, just a small group. And wiggled the wings, and they went crazy. Still see their arms as they came over the bombed-out building. Right behind the pilot seat is a flare chute where emergency flares are pushed out in case you have an emergency in flight. And it's easy for the crew chief stand between the pilots to just access that. And so as he came over the head, just told him, push it out, and he pushed it out. Unloaded 20,000 pounds of flour, the Germans did, and worried that somebody had seen the airplane as parachutes and get me in trouble and lined up to take off. Or they pulled the parachutes over barbed wire where they couldn't get them under the field. When we taxied out, there's three Hanks just waving through at all the airplanes. And their mouths were going up and down, and we waved, and I said they wish they wouldn't do that, waving all the airplanes. Well, that's how it started.
And you're listening to Colonel Gail Halverson tell the story of how the Berlin airlift came to be. 2 million people trapped without any means of really supporting themselves. We had bombed many parts of Germany to bits. And leave it to American GIs to come up with the idea, or one. As he said, a light bulb went off in my head. But then he realized, quote, you can't drop stuff off out of airplanes without permission. And then he added, then I rationalized. And that's when you get in trouble. More of this remarkable story, the story of the Berlin airlift, the story of American compassion and ingenuity, here on Our American Stories.
At Boost Mobile, passion and determination fuel what it means to get after it. That's why they built their offers, keeping in mind those who go the extra mile. Boost Mobile is partnered with champions from across the nation to empower you with devices and service that won't break the bank. Join Boost Mobile and get after it. Boost Mobile is partnering with people you already know and love, like the artist JC Rivera, rapper, singer, songwriter Tusi, and professional skateboarder and Olympic athlete Samaria Brevard, to highlight their unique talents, inspiring journeys, and how Boost Mobile helped them continue to get after it. Boost Mobile knows the importance of shining a spotlight on the neighborhood kids and showing up for the communities they are in. It's time to join Boost Mobile and get after it. Switch to Boost Mobile today and get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone powered by America's largest 5G networks. New customers only. Taxes extra. One device per line. 5G not available everywhere. Other restrictions apply. Check out the full offer details at BoostMobile.com. Terms and conditions apply.
That time of the year is coming around.
The Holiday Classic is back on Christmas Eve.
Let's go!
Tune into NFL Network for an epic primetime showdown.
My mental health meds were helping, but they led to uncontrolled movements called TD, tardive dyskinesia. It felt like my movements were in the spotlight.
Ingrezza valbenazine capsules is a prescription medicine for adults with TD. It's the only TD treatment that's always one pill, once daily, and it's number one prescribed. And people taking Ingrezza can stay on most mental health meds. Ingrezza can cause depression, suicidal thoughts, or actions in patients with Huntington's disease. Pay close attention to and call your doctor if you become depressed, have sudden changes in mood, behaviors, feelings, or have thoughts of suicide. Don't take Ingrezza if you're allergic to its ingredients. Ingrezza may cause serious side effects, including angioedema, potential heart rhythm problems, and abnormal movements. Report fevers, stiff muscles, or problems thinking, as these may be life-threatening. Sleepiness is the most common side effect.
Now that treatment has reduced my TD movements, it's nice. People focus more on me.
Ask your doctor about Ingrezza or learn more at Ingrezza.com. That's Ingrezza.com.
And we continue with Our American Stories and the story of the Berlin airlift, how it came to be, how it happened, and the man on the ground then, who's now telling us the story, is Colonel Gail Halverson. Let's continue where Gail last left off.
After the first drop, it was about 3 weeks later when I got called in and chewed out because I didn't have permission by Colonel Hahn. And it was about that long ago, and then they said, it's okay, but you got to report down to Frankfurt, to the press center at Frankfurt. They want to know all about it because of this news release that came out. So it was then I knew that, boy, something really, somebody really thought this was a crazy idea. So I went in, and all the news agencies, of course, were covering the Berlin-Erlitt. So they were all there in this big press center in Frankfurt. And I was pretty humble, the first lieutenant guy, and had a chauffeur and a driver, and took me into Frankfurt in a hurry, and all these guys waiting for me. Wow, what have I caused? What happened? Then I knew, and from then I was crazy. Everybody was talking about it. When the word got out, we came back from Berlin to the beds, and there'd be boxes of chocolate, bars, gum. The guys give the ration. And we figured that overall, we must have dropped about 250,000 parachutes during the course of the blockade. We were able to drop. My buddies dropped after I left. They kept dropping and dropped until the end of September 1949. So it went on that long. What happened is that the American Confectioners Association, that represents all the candy makers in America, got a hold of me when I was in New York in September 1948 to pick up an airplane. General Tunner had me stay for a week in New York and appear on the early television program We the People and a number of radio talk shows and to inform people about what the airlift was like and my operation. And the representative of the American Confectioners Association said, how much of this stuff can you use? And I gave him some ridiculous number. And later they sent 6,000 pounds of chocolate bars by boat and by rail through Bremerhaven down to Rhein-Main. I came back from Berlin one day and an officer met me with a jeep and said, come with me. And what for? And he said, I'll show you. Went over the railway spur on Rhein-Main, and there was a boxcar with an armed guard. And I said, what's in the boxcar? And he says, chocolate bars. And it was two shipments of one 3,000 pounds, one 3,500 pounds of chocolate bars. And we couldn't drop that much because we couldn't tie up the parachute. We were too busy. And so we decided to have a Christmas party in Berlin with that. And we got that about the middle of December 1948, those shipments. And we put it in a supply building where there's somebody there all the time to guard it, because boy, that was enough chocolate to buy King Ludwig's castle on the black market. It's incredible value. And so we accumulated all of it before Christmas. And on the 24th of December 1948, the German Youth Association in Berlin, the youth of West Berlin, and the military teamed up and had Christmas parties for the kids all over West Berlin for that amount. But from then on, I said, we can't handle it this way. If we had it ready to drop, then we could drop it over the city as we came in. And so they said, okay. I don't know how they found it, but Elms Junior College in Chicopee, Massachusetts, and Miss O'Connor said, we'll handle that project for him. Just send all the candy to us, and we'll tie up the parachutes, put it in boxes, ready to drop, and ship it. In Chicopee, Mass., they had a fire station, an old fire station, that they got a new one, so the city gave it to them. They had a big sign up front, Operation Little Vittles. And 22 schools would alternate tying up parachutes. And sailboat companies donated old sailcloth. They'd have cut it up, parachutes about the size of a man's handkerchief, a little bigger. And the twine companies gave them all the twine. The cardboard companies gave them all the cardboard. They had processed 18 tons through that facility by January 1949. And Westover Air Force Base was right next to Chicopee, Mass. And it was one of the big transport bases that supported Rhein Main. And there's airplanes going back and forth all the time. And so I had all my squadron were there organized so that we had a map of Berlin with pins and a map on the best places to drop through the cloud when it was cloudy. We knew where the homing beacons were around the city for navigation. And so we knew where the biggest playgrounds or where the children most likely congregated. So we'd bring those boxes in, and the pilot would take them out. And then we quit dropping by the end of the runway because the crowd was get too big and a concentrated area, and I was afraid the kids getting hurt, bigger guys running over them for the stuff. And so we started dropping randomly all over the city. So when we come over different parts of the city where we wanted to drop, the crew chief would go back and just check this, cut the top of the cardboard box and just check it up against the escape hatch. And the stuff would come out like popcorn. It'd just blow all over the place and scatter all over the countryside. We'd drop it from 1,000 feet to 2,000 feet, and it'd just go all over. And I've got letters from kids that would see it. One man in 1998, I'm still flying the Berlin Airlift Flying Museum, the Spirit of Freedom, the Berlin Airlift Historical Foundation airplane. And we make parachute drops out of it a lot. We go to air shows all over the country. In 1998, we flew it across the North Atlantic back to Europe, 69 days in Europe. Air shows and airdrops in Great Britain, France, Luxembourg, and Berlin twice. And in Berlin, when the people would come through the airplane, you could tell immediately those who were there during the blockade. They were very emotional about telling you thanks for our freedom. And with moist eyes, they'd tell you how much it meant to them.
And you've been listening to Colonel Gail Halvorsen tell the story of the Berlin airlift. After that first drop of his, the one where he didn't ask for permission, just a few weeks later, he was hauled in, as he put it, and chewed out. But soon thereafter, he found himself in Frankfurt in a big press conference. He'd stumbled onto something. By the way, this old adage that my dad taught me, a military adage, better to ask for forgiveness than permission. And boy, is it no better evidence of that than right here. And my goodness, starting the drop in one place created problems. Everybody started to gather. Then the next thing you know, Halvorsen was worried that the young kids would get trampled by the starving big kids. So then the drops started to get scattered all over Germany. And from 1 to 2,000 feet, can you imagine being starving and waiting for stuff to come out of the sky from American planes that had bombed you only, just years before? It's remarkable, actually. When we come back, more of the story of the Berlin airlift here on Our American Stories.
At Boost Mobile, passion and determination fuel what it means to get after it. That's why they built their offers keeping in mind those who go the extra mile. Boost Mobile is partnered with champions from across the nation to empower you with devices and service that won't break the bank. Join Boost Mobile and get after it. Boost Mobile is partnering with people you already know and love, like the artist JC Rivera, rapper, singer, songwriter Tusi, and professional skateboarder and Olympic athlete Samaria Brevard, to highlight their unique talents, inspiring journeys, and how Boost Mobile helped them continue to get after it. Boost Mobile knows the importance of shining a spotlight on the neighborhood kids and showing up for the communities they are in. It's time to join Boost Mobile and get after it. Switch to Boost Mobile today and get a free Samsung Galaxy A23 5G phone powered by America's largest 5G networks. New customers only. Taxes extra. One device per line. 5G not available everywhere. Other restrictions apply. Check out the full offer details at BoostMobile.com. Terms and conditions apply.
time of the year is coming around.
The Holiday Classic is back on Christmas Eve.
Let's go!
Tune into NFL Network for an epic primetime showdown.
My mental health meds were helping, but they led to uncontrolled movements called TD, tardive dyskinesia. It felt like my movements were in the spotlight.
INGREZZA valbenazine capsules is a prescription medicine for adults with TD. It's the only TD treatment that's always one pill, once daily, and it's number one prescribed. And people taking INGREZZA can stay on most mental health meds. INGREZZA can cause depression, suicidal thoughts, or actions in patients with Huntington's disease. Pay close attention to and call your doctor if you become depressed, have sudden changes in mood, behaviors, feelings, or have thoughts of suicide. Don't take INGREZZA if you're allergic to its ingredients. INGREZZA may cause serious side effects, including angioedema, potential heart rhythm problems, and abnormal movements. Report fevers, stiff muscles, or problems thinking, as these may be life-threatening. Sleepiness is the most common side effect.
Now that treatment has reduced my TD movements, it's nice. People focus more on me.
Ask your doctor about INGREZZA or learn more at INGREZZA.com. That's INGREZZA.com.
And we continue with Our American Stories and with Colonel Gail Halverson, who was there and who, in essence, sort of got the thing rolling, the idea of the Berlin airlift. Let's return where Gail last left off.
But one of the men that came through, he's 60 years old, and said to me, 50 years ago, I was a boy of 10 going to school, and the clouds were very low, and it was raining, and I knew you were using radar to land because I couldn't see any airplanes. And suddenly out of this cloud came a parachute with a fresh Hershey candy bar and landed right at my feet. And it took me a week to eat it. He said, that's astounded. I hit it day and night. And he said, it's not the chocolate was important. What was important was that somebody in America knew I was in trouble. Somebody cared. He said, I can live on thin rations, but not without hope. Without hope, the soul dies, he said. And one little boy was going to school. And suddenly, here come a bunch of parachutes. It wasn't that bad of weather before. And they're picking him up, but he was out of the group of ways, and he saw that one landed in the duck pond. And he went in the duck pond after it. He got all mucky with duck stuff and everything else. But he got the parachute and the chocolate bar. And they went on to the school, wasn't very far from where they caught it. And the headmaster saw him and said, what are you doing coming to school all muddy and all messed up? And he showed him the thing, and the guy says, oh, that's all right, that's all right, that's okay. And so I think he had to send him home to change his clothes. But so that was, it was exciting for him. They never knew where it was going to. The East Berlin kids wrote to me and said, look, We can't help it where they put the border. We're over here with these Russians. We like the Americans. And we're getting some of that stuff. We come over to West Berlin and we're catching it. But we'd like to have you drop it over East Berlin. There's not so many people over here. It'd be a lot better for us. And so I said, why not? And so I did. And it'd be fun. There are some soccer fields in our pattern as we'd go around East Berlin. And when they'd be playing soccer, that's when I liked it best, because we saved the candy and we got over the kids playing soccer in East Berlin and kick it out, and the soccer ball would go one direction, the kids would chase the ball, the parachutes going somewhere else, break up the soccer game. But that was fun to watch it. We'd bank the airplane and get a look at what's going on. And so I had to quit in East Berlin, because the Soviets complained to the State Department. That's a dirty capitalist trick. You're trying to influence the minds of the young people against us, the Soviets, by giving them chocolate. And he said it was a CIA operation. This government operation, we've got to stop. Well, it was never a government operation. And so I came back from Berlin one day, and this officer met the airplane and says, what are you doing over East Berlin? And then I knew I was in trouble. And he said, well, you got to stop. And he told me why. I said, lots of people in East Berlin that I've met that caught parachutes asked me why I quit. That's politics, not people. It's politics is the problem. It gets addictive. It's the only drug I've ever addicted to. Smile on the kid's face when he got something unexpected. I didn't think I did anything special. I just gave kids two sticks of gum. And I just keep thinking, it's just two sticks of gum. And that's all it is. And whatever's made of it, somebody else. Not my doing. I didn't. Whenever you think that you're causing all the good things to happen, boy, you're in deep trouble. I mean, from then on, you're off the path of life. If you don't give credit for the good Lord of what he's made available to us and what other people do for you, then you just as well say, hey, buddy, I'm not a contributor to society anymore. I'm a millstone on the system. I think the airlift was, to me, was a reinforcement of the things my church taught me all my life and my family taught me. Basically, money is not the answer to happiness. The more you get, the more you want. And there's just no end. It's an open-ended chase for the fountain of youth. That the only way to real fulfillment is serving others. Service before self. And that's one of the Air Force core values. Service before self. And that's what the Savior taught. This is life. If you want happiness, serve others. The Dead Sea is dead because it takes in all the good ideas of fresh water and gives out nothing. So it's dead. And people are that way. They say, give me all the time and give not of themselves. The Dead Sea souls. And that was demonstrated in spades. 31, well, Jesus Christ said, greater love than this hath no man than he lay down his life for a friend. And 31 of my buddies gave their lives for an enemy. Germans that became a friend. Why? Because the service, the reward you get, you can't buy by helping somebody, especially helping somebody in need. And the enemy is the epitome. If you're able to do that, why, that's the ultimate, if you're able to forgive and to serve an enemy. So service before self. Airlift is the perfect demonstration, absolute perfect demonstration. And that indicates what my parents and my church taught me. Now, the other thing is the little decisions you make in life are important, extremely important, more important than big decisions, because they put your footsteps and your mindset on a path that leads you to your final destination, your final position. And you're down that path where you're not going to return when the big decision comes. That little decision, for two sticks of gum, and the whole world changed for me. For two sticks of gum, that's about as small as you can get. Where does the little decision come from? Well, we get an impression. Everybody's got a conscience. A spirit, we believe every person has, and a conscience, and you got a trigger. And it tells you, very subtly, what you ought to do. Then you argue with it and do something different. Then you miss out on the good things in life. Gratitude and break down the wall between people. When you're grateful for something and don't think that you invented the world by yourself and everything that happens to you is because of how smart you are and give credit to nobody else. Boy, you're in the Dead Sea, getting in the Dead Sea again. But gratitude, by stopping and telling the lady mopping the floor in the office building on the way out that, boy, you're doing a good job and sure make this place look better. If you can see that, then she's grateful back, and that job is getting even better next time. And the other thing, I guess, too, is attitude. 90% of the things that happen to us, including the airlift, we can do something about. We can hate the enemy and be mad all the time, or we can get on with it and enough to get the reinforcement to find out that we're doing something worthwhile. But attitude determines success or failure. Determine in the family, in the home, or in the nation, or the community. The attitude, how you approach things. 90% of the things I think that happen to us, we can determine how we feel. We have control of that one string on their violin, that how we react. That's attitude. And 10% we can't. As we said, as God grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change. That 10% that you can't change, and the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to tell the difference. So attitude is boy, it's about everything. And the Airlift had all of them. Attitude, gratitude, service before self, and integrity. All those things were factored in. And this Airlift to me.
And a great job on the storytelling and production by Greg Hengler. And a special thanks to Colonel Gail Halverson, who celebrated his 101st birthday recently. And thanks to the National Archives for the interview and the Truman Presidential Library. There's also a wonderful children's book, Christmas from Heaven, the true story of the Berlin candy bomber, with Tom Brokaw narrating the story in the book's accompanying DVD. My goodness, how rich. To bump into a beneficiary of the Berlin Airlift decades later and have a grown man say it wasn't the chocolate that was important, it was the sense that someone out there cared. A person can survive thin rations. One can't survive without hope. And my goodness, 2.3 million tons of supplies were dropped in the Berlin Airlift. 2.3 million tons. It was called Operation Vittles and took place over an 18-month period. And I simply love what Halverson said at the end. The Berlin Airlift reinforced many of the things my church taught me and my family. Money is not the answer. Real fulfillment comes from serving others. Service before self. It's what our Savior taught us. Colonel Gail Halverson's story, the Berlin Airlift story, and a story of so much more, including the American spirit and American generosity. By the way, we did this with the British as well, our compatriots across the sea, here on Our American Stories.
The best part of a Ford truck is right behind the wheel. You. That's because strength is in your DNA. The 2023 Ford F-150 truck is designed for those that work smart and play freely. The type that gets practically a whole day's worth of work done before most have finished their first cup of coffee. The 2023 Ford F-150 truck includes a Pro Power onboard feature with up to 7.2 kilowatts of power. Tap your screen now to learn about the new 2023 Ford F-150 truck. Built Ford tough.
Tis the season of making the perfect wish list and the perfect playlist with Bose Quiet Comfort Ultra Earbuds and Headphones. Breakthrough immersive audio uses spatialized sound to bring your fave holiday classics to life. And world-class noise cancellation ensures a not-so-typical silent night and an epic holiday party of one. It's everything music should make you feel, taken to new holiday highs. Visit Bose.com/iHeart this holiday season and shop sound that's more than just a present.
That time of the year is coming around.
The Holiday Classic is back on Christmas Eve.
Let's go!
Tune in to NFL Network for an epic primetime showdown.